Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. I am back. I'm back. I'm your host, the Supreme Litigant, and I'd like to welcome all y'all to Smart Loc Radio. Tonight, I will be discussing the Constitution does not apply to you, and I'll tell you why. Well, I'll let the justices tell you why in these cases that I got. I always read cases because these are from some brilliant minds and people who've been doing this for a long time, way longer than I have. But last week I got, I think I got an email from somebody on what they wanted me to elaborate on the etymology of the word person. Okay, so I'll start the show off with that first, and then I get into what the Constitution actually is and why it doesn't apply to you. Got a few callers, but they're not raising their hand. So I guess they just want to hear me talk tonight. So until anybody raises their hand, I'll just talk on this topic. All right, first off, the word person is it's derived from the Latin word persona. Okay, and persona is spelled P-E-R-S-O-N-A. In Latin, the word persona means mask, like mask that you wear over your face. Mask, M-A-S-K. Let me see if I can give you an example. Halloween is a perfect example. Let's say on Halloween you want to dress up as Spider-Man. So you're going to get you a Spider-Man costume, you get you a Spider-Man mask, or you either you just have on makeup or you act like Spider-Man or whatever. You know, you don't even have to have on a mask. But we're just going to use this because I think it gives a better example of what I'm trying to get y'all to understand. So you got your Spider-Man mask. You got your costume on and everything. So since you have on this mask and since you are acting like Spider-Man, you are representing Spider-Man. You're acting just like Spider-Man. You're acting, you're holding your hands out like the webs. You're acting like you're crawling on walls and stuff like that. You are exhibiting traits of Spider-Man. So you represent Spider-Man. Spider-Man is your person. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Spider-Man is your person, although in actuality, you are not Spider-Man. You see what I'm saying? Let's say a girl, she wants to dress up as a witch for Halloween. So she going and gets her a hat. You know, she puts makeup on her face, you know, the fake nose, the fake bump, whatever, green. She got a witch dress on, witch shoes and all this stuff. So on Halloween, the mask she chose to wear, in other words, her person is a witch. So she acts like a witch. She talks like a witch. She exhibits the personality traits that she has seen of a witch. So she represents a witch, although in actuality she is not a real witch. Do y'all see what I'm saying? That is what is going on here. So let me give you another example. So let's say you want to make you a business, okay? So let's say John Doe, he gets a McDonald's franchise or whatever. And, you know, he got his franchise going. He got all his numbers that identify and associate with this person, with this legal entity called McDonald's, okay? And so John Doe doesn't want to do business in his private capacity. In other words, John Doe doesn't want to do business in his name. He wants to do business in his person's name. In other words, his business name. So what John Doe does is he uses these numbers that have been attached to this person, and he does business in that person's name. He gets credit extended to his business in his business name. In McDonald's name. So let's say, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's say John Doe, let's say McDonald's gets a subpoena. Okay. Can McDonald's, not John Doe, but just McDonald's, answer a subpoena? No, because McDonald's is a corporate entity. It is a fiction. It does not exist. So since it does not exist, it's a fiction, the subpoena has to be served on John Doe. Because he is the, you know, he's the chief officer of that corporation. He represents that corporation. Do y'all see what I'm saying here? Okay, and since he has created a legal entity, you know, another person, this person has attributes or characteristics of a human being. So it can engage in contract. It, you know, it can make contract. It can get credit extended to it. It can sue in the, you know, in its name. It can prosecute, prosecute cases in its name. It can also be sued in its name, meaning somebody can sue that corporation, and that corporation can sue somebody else, and this corporation can engage into business contracts. It can get credit to them. You know, it can get credit extended to them because a corporation is a person. That is how they are considered everywhere. A corporation is a person. I know this sounds crazy to a lot of y'all who don't know this shit, but a corporation is a person. That is why you can sue the city of whatever, the city of Chicago, the city of Atlanta, the city of Dallas, the city of Houston. They're all persons. They are all persons. And they have DUNS numbers. All of them do. The state, all of them, the courts, all of them. All of them are corporations. Sorry about that. Before I elaborate on the topic tonight, I want to talk about something else. I just want to read y'all something from a case right quick. Looks like this computer just shut down on me. I might have to wait. I'm telling how long I have to wait. Looks like it went dead on me. I think it did. Well, if it did, I might have it on my other computer. Let me check. Y'all give me a second. All right. Let's go here. Let me scroll on down. It's probably not on here. I'm telling how many pages I got on here. I'm going to scroll down a little bit more. But I just want to talk to y'all about, I want y'all to see what these judges are saying when these, when the city and the state start acting, you know, they start doing business in, I'm sorry, when these public servants start doing business in the state's name or the city's name. I want y'all to see what they're saying about it. Here's another case. This is in Alabama. And I scroll down a little bit more. Damn it. Give me a second. I got to scroll back down. I lost the page. Almost there. Come on, come on, come on. Here we go. Right up in here. All right. So this is a case from Alabama. It was in 2014. And it says a corporation is an entity created by compliance with statutory requirements. A corporation has the right to sue and be sued like a natural person. A corporation, just like an individual, must enforce its own rights and privileges. So what they're saying is the corporations, I mean, the agents of the corporation, when that corporation has grounds for a lawsuit, then the agents of that corporation have to initiate the lawsuit in that corporation's name. That's what they have to. That's what this case is saying. Let me see if I can find one more. There's a bunch of them. Let me see. Give me a second, y'all. No, it's not in this one, so I'm not gonna even do it. Yeah. All right. So let me get back to the topic of the show tonight. So the topic of the show tonight is called The Constitution does not apply to you, and it does not. The Constitution does not apply to you. So I want y'all to ask yourself, if the supreme law of the land does not apply to you, but only applies to government, to, you know, to public servants, are you really not sovereign? Think about that. They want y'all to think that you're not sovereign, but you're sovereign. Anyway, so I'm gonna read y'all the some case citations from 25 cases that I found on Case Text. The first case is it says Commonwealth versus Dingfelt. This is in 1974, and it says, however, the constitutional limitations do not extend to private citizens. The evidence obtained pursuant to an unlawful search by a private citizen is admissible at trial, since the purpose of the Fourth Amendment is to protect our citizens from unlawful government intrusion. The Constitution does not apply to you. It's public law. You are not public. You are private. The Constitution does not apply to you. I'm going to read you another one. Constitutional violations do not apply to private citizens or corporations because private parties are not generally acting under color of state law. And that is true. Under color of state law means under the appearance of state law. They're not act. It's not law. Statutes are not laws. But anyway, so an act that was from 2012. That was from Vance versus Dodd. Here's another one from 2015. The Constitution does not apply to the conduct of private persons. It applies to the conduct by the government. Conduct of private parties lies beyond the Constitution's scope in most instances. It doesn't apply to you. The Constitution does not apply to the conduct of private persons. That was another case. Let's see. Let's scroll down. Where is it at? Here's one right here. This is from 2009, Jordan versus Commonwealth of Kentucky. The United States Constitution does not apply to the conduct of private persons. It applies to the conduct by government. A private citizen is not liable for an alleged constitutional violation. Doesn't apply to you. It does not apply to you. It's public law, not private law. The Constitution does not apply to you. The protections afforded to citizens by the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and the Civil Rights Act do not apply to private conduct. Do not apply to private conduct. It don't apply to you. I'm going to keep on reading this. This is a case, looks like it says Venetian Casino Resort, Local Joint Executive Board. This was in 1999. The general rule is that the Constitution does not apply to private conduct. Doesn't apply to you. Does not apply to you. Does not apply to you. Here's another case, Allen versus Mapfather, PSC. However, the Constitution does not apply to the conduct of private persons. It applies to conduct by the government. All of them saying the same thing. Let me see if I can read you another one that says it, but says it in a different way. This is so because the Constitution does not apply to the conduct of private persons. It applies to the conduct by the government. That ain't it. Let me find another one. Here it is. Here's another one right here from 1982. Here's another one. It says the Constitution inhibits government, not private citizens. Inhibit is spelled I-N-H-I-B-I-T-S. So let's go and see what this term inhibits means. Let's see what that word means. Where is my, let me get my cell phone. And let me look up this legal definition for inhibit. Here it is right here. Where it is. Inhibit means to restrain, decrease, or suppress the freedom with which one opinions or options are expressed. So in other words, it restrains you. It prohibits you. It stops you. It does not apply to you because it is public law, not private law. That said, the Constitution concerns the actions of the government, not private citizens. I think this is a good one. I'm going to read that one again because it goes on to say a little bit something else. This is a case of Lipman versus Budish. This is in 2020. You can find this in volume 974, Federal 3rd edition, page 276. Lipman is spelled L-I-P-M-A-N. Looks like Budish. It's spelled B-U-D-I-S-H. And it says, that said, the Constitution concerns the actions of government, not private citizens. And so, while the government cannot infringe upon a fundamental right without a compelling state interest, the state generally is not obligated to protect those rights against harm from private actors. I think that was a good case. They're saying that they're not obligated to protect you, just to let you know. The state is not obligated to protect you. Here's another one. The state and the federal constitutional provisions do not apply to unauthorized acts of private citizens. You private, man. The Constitution does not say what you can and cannot do. It says what the government can and cannot do. The reason it does not apply to you is because you are sovereign. You are not a trustee. These people are trustees because the Constitution is a trust. That is what it is. They like to make y'all think that it's not a trust. They like to mock you and make fun of you. Sovereign citizens believe that the Constitution is a trust, and that the 14th Amendment created a new standard, a new class of citizenship, and this citizen is a citizen of the federal government. That's what they like to say. But all of that, what they're saying is true. All of it is true because it's in case law. I can pull up all these cases right now, and they're going to say the same thing. All of them. That's what these federal judges from 100 years ago are saying. They federal judges. And that's what they're saying that a U.S. citizen is. And that's what they say in the Constitution. They say it's a trust. Matter of fact, I'm going to prove to you it's a trust right now. Give me a second. Let me drink me some water. Let me read some more of these cases first, and then I'll do that. by the way, that case that I just read, that was Caterpillar Inc. versus Sutlo. And I'll read that again. Caterpillar Inc., which incorporated, versus Sutlo. You can find it in volume 52, Northeastern 3rd edition, page 19, from 2016. Looks like this was in Indiana. Yeah, it was in Indiana. It says the state and federal constitutional provisions do not apply to unauthorized acts of private citizens. You private, man. They public, you private. They public, you private. They public, you private. They public servants. Let's see. Here it is. Here's another one right here. This is from 2013, Jackson versus Green. This was in federal court, Northern District, Iowa. It doesn't have a case. It has a case number, but it doesn't have a case citation. But anyway, it says defendants are private citizens and a private corporation. And therefore, the 4th, 6th, and 14th Amendments do not apply to them. You private citizens, man. Don't apply to you, man. You private. Here's another case right here. Rights. It says Right Reason Publications versus Sylvia. This is from 1998. You can find this on volume 691, Northeast Edition, second. That's the second edition Northeastern Edition on page 1347. It says the state and federal constitutional provisions do not apply to unauthorized acts of private citizens. Because Sylvia is a private citizen, his acts unauthorized by the state could not have impaired the constitutional rights invoked by Right Reason. It doesn't apply to you, man. You're private. The Constitution does not prohibit searches and seizures by private citizens. There it is right there. There's another. This is in West Virginia. This is from 1988. You can find this case on volume 179, West Virginia, page 403. That's where you can find this case at. The Constitution does not prohibit searches and seizures by private citizens. Let's see. Here's a case right here. It says, if the cloth were seized from the car by a private citizen and handed over to the police, no constitutional question would arise. That is because you are private and they are public. They public servants. The Constitution places no limitations on you. It says what the government can and cannot do. And these public servants do not have any constitutional authority to tell you that you can't smoke weed, sell crack, or be a prostitute if you want to. I mean, I don't condone some of that stuff, but if that's what you want to do, you sovereign, do as you please. As long as you don't damage anybody's property or, you know, hurt anybody, you know, you're good. You're sovereign. I want y'all to think about that. You know, y'all remember back in the day, like if you see one of these old movies, and you see they'll be in a little town or whatever, and they'll only be a sheriff. Notice there are no police there, just a sheriff. A sheriff, a peace officer, not a police officer, which is a policy officer because they're enforcing public policy, but a police officer. A peace officer. And let's say there was these two men, both of them had guns. Notice they didn't. The sheriff ain't walk up to them and ask them, did they have a permit or a license or anything like that, because they sovereign. Sheriff can't do that. He knows that. But here's it. But let's go back. So anyway, these two men, they challenge each other to a draw, a duel, or whatever. So they go out in the middle of the street and walk, take a couple steps, turn around and shoot each other. Somebody shoot somebody first and kill the other dude. And the sheriff's standing right there looking at it. The sheriff don't do shit because they sovereign and they agreed to that. So, you know, he can't do nothing. But let's say if you were sitting down in the bar and the sheriff was in there and somebody walked over to you and punched you in the face and you got up and you said, Sheriff, I want this man arrested for assault and battery. That sheriff is finna arrest your motherfucking ass. Because you have actually injured, you have actually committed a crime against a living flesh and blood man or woman. Do y'all see what I'm saying here? This is what's going on when you get a traffic ticket. They're filing a lawsuit against you. Public servants are suing you in the state's name. That's what they're doing. They're filing a lawsuit against you. They're saying that you had no lawful authority to travel down the road in the usual and ordinary manner, not in a commercial manner, in the usual and ordinary manner, without a license plate. That's what they're saying. When you do have that right, they're not going to tell you that, not in court. But if you read some old cases, they'll tell you that shit. Y'all can't believe these people, man. Don't believe these people. They be lying to you, man. The Constitution is a trust. It does not apply to you. It does not say what you can and can't do because you are sovereign. You have to be sovereign to create a constitution. You have to be sovereign to create a state. You have to be sovereign to do any goddamn thing. If you're not sovereign, then you can't do that. Here's another case. Let me see what it is. I mean, they seem to say the same thing. Yeah, they do. Yeah, all of them say the same thing. Here it is. Here's another one. This is from Texas, 2002, Black versus Jackson. You can find this in volume 82, Southwest, 3rd edition, page 44. And it says, the Constitution does not, however, have the same application to the conduct of private citizens. The general rule is that the conduct of private citizens is beyond the Constitution's reach. It doesn't apply to you, man. The Constitution does not apply to you. It is public law, not private law. It doesn't apply to you. It just doesn't apply. A lot of people don't get that, but it doesn't apply to you. What was that? I think I got a message. I don't know who is this from. I got a message, but we'll do that later. Let's go. I was gonna talk about how the Constitution is a trust. I'm gonna read y'all something. This is a case from Alabama, 1974, and I'm gonna read y'all something. I want y'all to pay close attention. Here's another one from 19. Where they cited this. The Supreme Court justices in Alabama cited this same case that I was going to read y'all from 1974. They cited this case in 1995. Let me see if I can find it somewhere else. I think I'm going to go back up. Yeah, I'm gonna go back up. Yeah, I'm gonna go back up. I want y'all to pay attention to these words that they're using in this case. And this is here it is. This case is called Opinion of the Justices. And you can find this case in volume 665, Southern Second Edition, on page 1378. This is from 1995. And this is what it says. The right of an individual, partnership, or corporation to reduce the fish from their natural free state to one of private ownership is a privilege, and it is. Is a privilege as opposed to a vested right. Granted, I want y'all to pay attention to this. Granted by the state and subject to conditions, regulations, and limitations placed on that privilege by the legislature. The title to and property in the fish in the waters of Alabama are vested in Alabama and held in trust for the people of Alabama. The state owns the fish, not in a private or proprietary capacity, meaning not in its corporate capacity, but in its sovereign capacity as a trustee for the people of the state. That is because the Constitution is a trust. This is what this is what they did when they made the Constitution. They placed the they placed all of this land, everything, in a trust, and gave it to people who they they didn't give it to. They granted the people permission to take care of this land for all of their future generations of kids and so on and so forth. That's what they did. So they placed this in a trust. And they said, look, this is our land. Okay, this is how we want you to run this land. Okay, this is what you can do, and this is what you can't do over this land. And that's what they did. The Constitution is a trust. Here's another one. It's citing the same case. It's basically saying the same thing. Because it's a trust. Let me see something. Let me see if I can find another one. Let me see. Give me a second, y'all. I think I might have found another. This one looks pretty good. Give me a second. I'm going to expand my search. I'm going to not limit it to Alabama cases. I want to find all types of cases. Here's one right here. This one is from 1980. I'm not sure where this is from, but it says a public trustee is a county officer. A county officer, the public trustee, may be able to receive legal advice from the county attorney if such officer is appointed for the county, and the county attorney may represent the trustee in civil actions to which the county is a party or in which it is interested. That's one. Let's see if I can find another one. They trustees, man. Here's another one right here. This is from 2017. This is State versus Denon. You can find this on on volume 449. Looks like New Jersey New Jersey Superior Court, page 369. And here's what it says: a breach of the public trust occurs when a governmental agency or officer invested with the public trust causes harm to the public by breaching its trust. They trustees, man. These people are trustees. The prosecutor is a trustee. The judge is a trustee. The clerk of the court is a trustee. The sheriff is a trustee. Anybody who takes an oath to defend the Alabama Constitution is a trustee. All the Supreme Court justices in Alabama are trustees. All the judges everywhere in Alabama are trustees. All the prosecutors everywhere are trustees. All the sheriffs everywhere in Alabama are trustees. They're trustees. The Constitution is a trust. Okay, I see somebody with their hand raised. I'm sorry. Let me caller 6606. I'm about to turn your microphone on. Give me 1 second. All right, caller 6606.
Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Years ago, I was on a blog talk show, and I was the co-host of the show. So I thought it'd be interesting with me and my other co-host to teach about the Constitution. After 2 days, I said, nah, can't do it because I don't know what I'm talking about. And the reason why I said that is because in order to know what the Constitution is, you have to know the minds of the people who wrote the Constitution and for what intentions that they had for the Constitution.
That is correct.
Would you agree with that?
Yep.
Okay.
100%.
So in order to do that, what do you think people have to do nowadays in the 21st century to find out what people in the 18th century had in mind for the Constitution? How do you know, in other words, that what you're reading from people who've interpreted the Constitution or from your own interpretation, that you're correct?
That's a good question. And I would say it's, in my opinion, it's kind of hard to answer. So I would just write a whole nother Constitution. That's what I would do, because you have the authority to do that. You're sovereign. Public servants, they can only propose amendments to the Constitution and submit those amendments for approval to their masters. Their masters are the people. And you're just as sovereign in your individual capacity as you are collectively. They're never going to tell you that stuff, man, but you are. You can,
well,
people can
I
change the
I'm
Constitution.
Sovereign no matter what. I don't care
Say
if I was
again.
Born on Mars or on Neptune or in some other universe. I believe that a sentient being that is born on some sort of property, maybe on somebody's property, but that doesn't mean that that person is that property owner's slave. I believe everybody
yeah, I would,
is a sovereign
I would agree
person.
Yeah, I would agree
and
with
I
that.
Also
they're playing word
yeah,
games
I,
with people, man.
Yeah, but I believe also in government. I believe that a rational government, which we've rarely had, if ever, is built for the purpose of protecting the rights of people. Now, getting back to my original question, and what I'm leading up to is that unless we know what Madison and Hamilton and Washington and Franklin and the rest of them had in their heads for sure when they wrote out the Constitution, because there was the writing of the Constitution wasn't a smooth process. It took years. And I believe that after the Constitution was about to be ratified, there were people holding it up until the Bill of Rights would be included, and that took 2 years. So I believe, because there's a lot of people who believe that they know the Constitution, and I say this, unless a person reads the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, the private writings and the public writings of all the forefathers, and unless they wrote, you know, the person who's doing the investigation, unless that person wrote articles themselves in a peer-reviewed journal and had debates, not even the people on the Supreme Court, in my opinion, are scholars. Because one really has to get inside the head of the person or persons who wrote the Constitution. And a lot of times people have confirmation bias and they don't really know what went on back in the 17th century.
That's a lot of the, well, I can't say a lot of the justices, because some of them, they, you know, they tend to have their own, some of them have their own agenda, or some of them
That's
have,
what I'm saying.
Their, who was, I don't think, was it Scalia? Scalia, he was,
he was a staunch conservative. Yeah.
I think he was a pretty good justice. Because, how, that's why they overturned Roe v. Wade. Because they based that decision on what the people then believed in. That's how they always do it. That's what, let me rephrase it. That's how they're supposed to do it. All of them don't do that though. I think, Justice Thomas does.
No, they're not supposed to do it on what the people think. They're not supposed to do it on what the current times are. They're supposed to do it according to the wishes and intent of the people who wrote the Constitution.
Back then, yeah, back then, exactly. That's correct.
Yeah, right.
Scalia does that. Well, he did that. I think Justice Thomas does that. Who was it? I'm not sure. I haven't really studied on Justice Roberts yet. But those two that I mentioned,
Roberts,
both of them.
Roberts was hailed as a conservative, but he's turned pretty liberal. In fact, when you know what the political leanings are of any of the judges, even before they get ratified, then we're in trouble, because nobody should have a liberal opinion or a conservative opinion. They should have an investigatory opinion about finding out for sure, using the sources as best as they can, what the founding fathers actually meant. So that's my opinion, and I believe that I've talked to a bunch of people on Blog Talk Radio mainly about the Constitution, and my belief is that nobody knows more than about 50-60% of what they should know.
I don't know. I can't really comment on that, but what I can tell you is, based on the cases that I've read, they do a lot of what you just said. They go back and they read these Federalist Papers, all of the papers that they use to draft the Constitution, and the opinions back then, they use that. Some of them, but I'm not sure who all does. I think I read a case with Scalia. He did it. Who else? I think there's a lot of
justices. I'll tell you one thing about
it.
Scalia, though. Scalia was a staunch conservative, as I said. He didn't believe that the Constitution was a living document, and I think it's a good thing. But at the same time, he gave a particular, not a seminar, but he was being interviewed, and somebody had asked him the question about, you know, the changing times. And he said, well, you know, it's not a living document, but you can make decisions based upon the trajectory of how the times are going. I'm paraphrasing him because I don't remember exactly what he said, but I do know that he said the trajectory and the message that he was trying to relay to the interviewer was that over time, there are certain components, philosophies of the Constitution that, you know, are not fit for the current day's times. And
yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, I don't know. But again, those are my criteria, because unless a person actually has a debate with a person from the other side, everybody thinks they're right, except for me. I just knew I didn't know enough, so I discontinued the class because I knew I wasn't qualified.
That's a good argument. This is, I think, what really needs to be done. Like, if you're going to be a justice, you know, if you're going to take your oath and swear your allegiance, you know, to the sovereign people, and if you're going to be a public trustee, then you should never, ever, ever, ever rule against what the Constitution says. I don't care what it says. Now, if you want to change the Constitution, the way that you change, you just write another Constitution. That's all you got to do. You can do that whenever you want, man. Everybody's not going to agree on everything.
Yeah, but it won't be I can write my own Constitution, but it won't matter. It won't even be worth the paper it's written on. The thing is that the Constitution, again, there are so-called scholars, and the Constitution does need scrutiny. But that scrutiny has to come from a person who knows what they're doing. In order for them to know what they're doing, they have to read the Anti-Federalist, the Federalist Papers. It would help to read the writings of the people at the time. For example,
yeah.
I'm against Article 1, Section 8. And there was a guy named Brutu, actually, who wrote about that particular article would give the government too much power. And he was right. And he wrote it back in the 1700s. So I would like to see a debate between, you know, people who think they know the Constitution with me as the moderator. Have you ever seen the way the Supreme Court conducts its business?
When you say conducts its business, what do you mean? You mean like
how they decide cases? When the lawyers are in front of them, when the justices are on the bench, and the lawyers are presenting their cases. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the way I think all debates should be, and that's the way I like it. At first I didn't like the way that they were doing it because it seemed rude. But over time, I got to realize that what they were doing when they were interrupting lawyers, they were making sure that the lawyers would stay on point, they wouldn't meander, and they would not try to obfuscate the issues. So that's why I say I would like to be the moderator, or somebody else would be the moderator with that same kind of mindset, because people will tap dance.
Yeah, they will. This is my remedy. I'm not sure if you would agree with this or if anybody would agree with this. The Constitution needs to be modified. It just needs to be modified. It needs to, like, for example, it needs to be expressly stated in the Constitution that when these public servants get out of line, the people have every right to remove them peacefully or by force. That needs to be in there. They need to know their place, because they're just way out of hand. They're way out of hand. There's a lot of other stuff that needs to go in there. But this is what people really don't understand. The Constitution, it doesn't have anything to do with me or you. It's just me and you saying what the government can and can't do. It's not a limit on what we can and can't do. It's public law. It's not private law. It's public law. It has nothing to do with me.
It does bleed. Yeah. It is about giving rights to the government and limiting their power so that they should know how not to encroach upon the rights of the people. But then that begs the question, then who is going to consider what the rights of the people are? If the government is there to protect us, and they're there, Congress is there to pass laws to protect us, and if Article 1, Section 8 is in that Constitution, which is the great weasel clause, then the Congress can do just about anything they want. What I would like to see is to have Article 1, Section 8 removed.
Is that the Commerce Clause? Or are you talking about the whole entire
No, that's
Article
the General
1,
Welfare 8. Clause. Article 1, Section 9, I believe, is the Commerce Clause.
General Welfare. General Welfare over who? Which Constitution are we talking about? Because I'm under the impression that there are two. There's one for the United States, and there's one for the United States of America.
Well, the only one I know about is the United States Constitution, and it's Article 1, Section 8, the one that we're taught about in school.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You probably heard of this. Have you ever heard that a U.S. citizen and a state citizen are not, they're not the same thing?
I may have, but I didn't pursue it.
Yeah. Well, there's a ton of cases on it. They're not the same thing. If you want me to talk about that, I will. Or if you want me to point you in a direction or something like that, to where you can read cases.
Well,
on
you
it,
know,
I will.
It's your show. You can, you know, you have the freedom to talk about whatever you think would be informative and entertaining to your listeners. I just want to say that nobody knows what the Constitution is in my mind unless they adhere to that criteria, because everybody thinks that once they study the Constitution that they know they're right. And until their beliefs are challenged, they don't know that for sure.
That's why, in support of what you just said, that's why they overturned Roe v. Wade. That's one of the reasons they overturned Roe v. Wade. One of the reasons was because the people at the time when the Constitution was drafted, they did not believe in abortions at that time. So that's why they overturned it. And they overturned it because they had no lawful authority to decide that issue, because the United States is foreign to the 50 states or whatever. So they feel like when they decided that case, they usurped their authority over the sovereign people of the different states. So that's why they say they overturned it. I agree with that, but then I also agree with, like, well, I mean, this shit is old. You should have just left that shit alone. Now you finna cause a whole bunch of problems. But now you have to overturn same-sex marriage. You have to overturn your right, you know, to have sex in the house with whoever, you know, your wife or whatever. You got to overturn a lot of other cases. And as a matter of fact, I think it was Justice Thomas. He wrote a dissent in that, you know, that new case that overturned Roe v. Wade. He wrote a dissent, and he mentioned all of that, what I just said. You got to overturn all this stuff.
Well, he was in favor of it. Roberts, you're talking about, or Thomas?
Thomas.
No, Thomas was in favor of overturning Roe v. Wade. He wanted it to go back to the states because he believed that anything that was not enumerated in the Constitution is going back to the states or to the people. So he doesn't want the federal government to have a lot of tentacles reaching out and squashing our particular sovereignty. So
that is correct.
He was in favor of overturning Roe versus Wade.
That is correct. A lot of people don't know, like you. Me personally, I don't support abortions, but I don't have no right to tell you that you can and can't get an abortion. It's not my body, and it's not my baby. You know, so I just shut the hell up and I mind my business. It's none of my business. But as I stated, the Constitution doesn't apply to you. It's public law. So if you want to get an abortion, you can get an abortion. They can't prosecute you for that, but they will. That's why I said the Constitution needs to be changed and amended to let public servants know when they get out of line that the people have every right to peacefully remove you from office. You know, you can resign or whatever, or if you're not going to do that, then we can just go up in here and we can drag your ass out by your throat, however you want to do it. They need to learn their place, because they way, way, way out of hand, man.
Uh-huh. Well, if you had that kind of clause in the Constitution, and regardless of whether it was written up in a general, vague manner or whether it was especially specific, that would be the tinderbox that could cause a civil war. Because then you'd have to ask, well, which one of the factions who don't like a politician have the right to grab him by the throat and throw him out? Now,
well,
the politician's in charge.
The word reasonable, Dan. Use reasonable force, because that's what they like to say anyway. That's what they like to call it.
Well, even then, it'll be up to interpretation, and then whoever's got the most money in their pocket from a lobbyist, that's the interpretation.
Yeah, you know how it goes. That's exactly how it goes. But it's just they just way out of line, man. And they just
I believe that.
I try to tell people this.
Yeah, they're not stupid. They're just corrupt. Everybody knows that they're taking money under the table from lobbyists and from international bankers. I mean, if you do any research, you find that out and you know it. But they're, you know, but it will come down to that because people will have to take up arms pretty soon, as a matter of fact, in the next few years, because the way that our rights are being eroded and the way that the computer chips are being owned by China and fertilizer is being very scarce and nitrogen is being very scarce and the way that they're destroying the environment, people will have to take up arms, but the people will lose when that happens. But, you know, this is the way it is.
They really not paying attention. Some of them are, but they, I don't know, I guess they're just distracted by work, sports, entertainment, something. I don't know what it is, but I just wish people would wake up. But unfortunately, that's just, I don't think that's going to happen.
Not in time, anyway. Anyway, I'm going to let you get back to your show, and I'll just put myself on mute, okay?
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. He's on. What did I do? Let's go back here. I don't know what I did. I forgot where I was. Let me go back. I think I was reading. It was something about explaining to people that the Constitution is a trust. Oh, I just had a gentleman call, and I should have asked him his name. I didn't get his name. But I agree with pretty much everything he said when it comes to interpreting the Constitution. In fact, there's a lot of case law that tells you that the Constitution is decided based on the time that it was written. So I agree with him. I do a lot of reading, a whole lot of reading. And that's what all the justices say. Let me see. You know what? I think I'm going to talk about a little bit more. Where's that case at? Let me see if I can find this case. It was, where was it? I think it was, anyway, it was a case that was, it was basically telling you, what a U.S. citizen was. there's a case called Barron versus Baltimore. In that case, this was prior to the alleged ratification of the 14th Amendment. So Barron, he sued the city of Baltimore under the Fifth Amendment. I want to say he did it. Yeah, he did it in federal court. He sued the city of Baltimore because he said that they took his private property and used it for for public use without just compensation. So he sued them. And let me see if I can find that case. I want to read that on the air right now. Barron versus Baltimore. I wish I could find that case. I have to go and do it on another show. Matter of fact, it's in my YouTube video. There it is. All right. Let me pull this video up. I did a video on YouTube probably 2 or 3 months ago. It's called The Secret Citizenships because you do have dual citizenship. Where is it? Right here. Give me 1 sec. Let me pull up this video right quick. Pause that. And it's going to have the case citation right here. Boom. There it is. Right. I'm going to read you this case citation. It says the provision in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States declaring that private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. The hell is that? I could have swore I paused that. Give me a second, y'all. Let's go and skip that. All right, there we go. Let me go back down here. I'm going to start it over. The provision in the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution of the United States declaring that private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation is intended solely as a limitation on the exercise of power by the government of the United States and is not applicable to the legislation of the states. That's what the case is. And the Constitution was ordained and established by the people of the United States for themselves, for their own government, and not for the government of the individual states. A lot of people don't know this, but states are countries. I'm going to back up a little bit and give y'all a little history lesson on this. Based on my research, the reason and what was that? Did I get a notification? Looks like I got a notification. Who is this? Let's see. Make sure I ain't got no new callers. Give me a second, y'all. Is that it? Here we go. Let's go back here. But the reason for that, back then, you know, the people in the states were sovereign, and the federal government could not force the states to make my ancestors or black people citizens back then. When they, you know, when the slaves were freed, the federal government, they couldn't force the states to make you a citizen, to make black people a citizen. So what they did was they came up with a new citizenship, okay? This citizenship is called a U.S. citizen. Matter of fact, you can read, what was that case? I think it's called Susan B. Anthony versus United States or something like that. It elaborates on the origin of the 14th Amendment, 14th, 15th, and 13th Amendment, I think. And in that case, it tells you that prior to the alleged ratification of the 14th Amendment, there was no such thing as a U.S. citizen. That's what it held in there, along with some other stuff too. But anyway, so the federal government couldn't force the states to make black people a U.S. citizen. I mean, a state citizen. So they came up with a 14th Amendment citizen. This citizen was called a U.S. citizen, and it would be known as a federal citizenship. And since it was a federal citizenship, it was subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, which is a corporation located exclusively in the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C. excuse me, y'all. So that's where the U.S. citizenship came from. The dual citizenship came from. There's a ton of cases on. I have a bunch of cases on it. Who is this? Let me log off this because I have all these people messaging me, and I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry about that, y'all. But, yeah, that's where the term U.S. citizen came from. Now I'll get back to the topic of the show. I'm not sure if you're listening or if you're just tuning in or whatever. One of my listeners, he raised his hand and we had a discussion. I have a few more, but I guess they just want to hear me talk. So I'll just go ahead and elaborate on what I was talking about the Constitution not applying to you. It's a trust, okay? You can decide what happens to your property 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, if you use a trust. You create a trust. And it doesn't matter what kind of trust you call. You can call it whatever you want. You create a trust, and you either you sell or you donate or whatever all of your property to the trust, and you get this property into the trust name. And once you do that, you make yourself a trustee and a beneficiary of the trust. And you also have other beneficiaries and so on and so forth like that. And you can also be the beneficiary and the trustee, you know, and the, what do they call it, the sailor or something like that, the one who made the trust. You can be all of those things. And you can create this trust and say, okay, I want my property ran like this, this, and this. The trustee shall do this, this, and this, not this, this, and this. It doesn't have the authority to do that, blah, blah, blah. You can do all that stuff from the grave. And, you can decide how your property is distributed. Like you can decide how much allowance that you want your great 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 grandkids to get if you're that rich by using a trust. You can decide when they get it, how they get it, what they have to do to get it with a trust. That's what I'm about to do. I'm about to put all of my property in an irrevocable trust and make myself the beneficiary and the trustee and just run it just like that. So let's see. I'm going to go back to here. I think I want to read some more stuff. Let's see. I forgot. Somebody was asking me about a divorce case. And I have a little time to do a divorce case. I only do divorces in Alabama. I don't have time for anywhere else. I only take divorce cases if there's no property involved, no kids involved, and I don't know who's lying, and I don't know who's telling the truth, and I really don't have time for that. Criminal cases, depending on what it is, you know, I can assist with those. Generally, I advise people who don't know what to do when it comes to enforcing their rights or doing paperwork or understanding what's going on with their case. If you can, just go out and hire you a private attorney. At least you can mitigate some of the rights violations, you know, that you're going to get, because they're going to try to violate your rights. But that's the purpose of your attorney, to, you know, to make sure that that doesn't happen. if you know what you're doing, you know, you don't, you know, you want to fight the case, you want to stand up for yourself and, you know, fight, you know, invoke your rights, then I support that. I'll help you do that if that's what you want to do. I counsel you the best way I can. I'll send you all the cases that I can and so on and so forth. As far as lawsuits against the city, police officers and stuff like that, I consider myself an expert, almost, for a pro se litigant, I consider myself almost an expert in that. Those are pretty easy, state court or federal court. I actually got one in state court that I'm about to initiate. Probably either it's going to be the end of this month or it's going to be the end of next month, about to sue a police officer who brutally assaulted me and about 3 years ago. But I just didn't have time. But I'm about to sue him. Anyway, I think I'll go ahead and end the show tonight, unless, you know, somebody has any questions for me. If you don't, you know, and you think of questions later, shoot me an email, and I'll do it next week on the show. That's what I'll do. I'm probably 9 times out of 10, I'll do a show next week, and we can just go from there. I'll give it about 5 more minutes. So if you know, all of my listeners, is about 6 of y'all right now. If you want to, you know, if you have any questions, just raise your hand. But right now, I'll just elaborate on some stuff. I remember one day, y'all, I was in court, and this judge, he said, when I filed my paperwork and he read over my paperwork, he looks at me and he say, sir, are you some kind of sovereign citizen or something like that? That's what, based on your paperwork, that's what I'm understanding. That's what I'm getting at. That's what it seems like you are. And I say, Your Honor, that is a misnomer. You can't be a sovereign and a citizen. And he looks at me and he says, you're absolutely right, sir. I think this was a traffic ticket case or something like that. Yeah, it was a traffic ticket case. And he says, well, Mr. Davis, do you have anything to say before I rule on this case? Now, we didn't, like, the witness for the case, they never showed up. The police, he never showed up. But the judge is on the bench trying to rule on this, you know, at a trial. Nobody has testified. So I look at the judge and I say, "No, Your Honor, you know you can't do that without a witness." And this judge looks up at me and he says, "You're right, sir. Now get out of my courtroom." And everybody in there laughed and stuff like that. I laughed. The judge laughed. And before I left, this judge now, he used to be, you know, he was an attorney. And he was sitting in a case in a courtroom one day with a judge. And a judge, this was a traffic case too also. And I beat the traffic. You know, I beat the traffic citation then with an argument. The argument went something like this. I said, "Your Honor, the body corporate state of Alabama arbitrarily and erroneously converted my right into a privilege. Now, since they've done that, and Murdoch versus Pennsylvania clearly states that no state may convert a secured liberty into a privilege, license it and attach a fee to it. And if they do, Shuttlesworth versus Birmingham says I can ignore it by engaging in that right with impunity." That was the argument that I had used for the traffic ticket or whatever. So that attorney then, who's now a judge, he stands up in court and he says, "That's a great argument." And the judge looks at him and says, "Hush." That shit was so funny, man. Let me see if I got any callers. If I don't have any callers now, I'm going to go ahead and let me see if I have somebody who has a question, because, I mean, they're just listening right now. I don't have any questions. Doesn't look like I have anybody. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show tonight. Thank you to all the listeners. If y'all have any questions, remember, email me, and I'll get back to y'all as soon as I can. To the gentleman who called tonight, to the gentleman who had a question and chimed in tonight, thank you for calling. I agree with pretty much everything you said. But I still think, in my own personal opinion, the Constitution needs to be changed. It needs to be amended, and the government needs to be have some of their granted rights rescinded. That's my own personal opinion, because they just way out of hand. They're too corrupt, and, you know, it's just bad. So on that note, I am out of here. Good night, everybody. Enjoy your day. The Supreme Litigant is out. And thank you for listening to Smart Look Radio. Peace.